HTXT AfriCast is sponsored by Neotel, South Africa's first converged communications network operator. Neotel, inspiring possibilities.
Hello and welcome to the first HTXT AfriCast for 2015. It is Wednesday the 21st of January. We're all back at work. We've been at it for just over 2 weeks now. If I'm not mistaken, lots of stuff has been happening, which is why we haven't exactly been able to give you an AfriCast. But we're here, we're back, and we're going to give you all of the awesome stuff that we predict is going to be amazing for the rest of 2015. Joining me on my immediate right-hand side, Charlie Fripsky. And on his right-hand side is Dion Duplessiski.
Hello.
I really needed to try and make your name sound Russian, and it didn't work so well. But anyway, moving fast along from that, in the first week of Jan, we had what is known as CES. It used to be called the Consumer Electronics Show. They've since lost their minds and asked people not to call the acronym what it actually is and to just call it the CES.
So that's kind of stupid because now it's the CES.
It's the CES, yes.
It's pool, just missing a pit.
Yeah. The pool or the pit of the CES was not available for comment, so we just have to give you what we saw from South Africa by watching press conferences at the CES and what we think it means for the rest of the year. And then we're going to speak about video games because all of us love video games, and we're going to say what we think is going to happen with the video games for the rest of the year. Before we jump into everything, I think we'd like to thank our sponsors, Neotel, because they're really awesome and they keep sponsoring us, which I don't think you can undervalue because we get to keep doing the HTXT AfriCast for them. Neotel, if you didn't know, is South Africa's first converged communication network operator, providing a range of value-added voice, internet, and data services for enterprise, wholesale, and retail customers in Southern Africa. It's powered by Neotel's high-performance fiber-optic backbone, next-generation network, challenging the status quo, making communication simpler and inspiring you to the next level. For more information, you can call 0860-NEOTEL, which is 0860-636-835. Or you can visit neotel.co.za. Neotel, inspiring possibilities, letting us try and talk over the rain that is busy happening on the tin roof of our studio. So this is going to be an interesting one. I actually want to jump straight into the CES stuff. I spent a lot of time watching all of the press conferences and whatnot for CES this year. My biggest theme from that is everything is 4K. It doesn't matter what the hell you're buying next, like in the next 12 months, if it's a TV, a camcorder, a cell phone, a digital streaming subscription, everything will have the ability to do 4K. Does this matter to anyone in this room?
I don't know if it's important to those of us in the room. I mean, 4K, it's a wonderful technology, just in terms of general technology terms. But I don't know. If there's not enough content coming out in 4K, I'm not sure how relevant it's going to be. Obviously, they're going to ramp up 4K content production. And, you know, the US and Europe are probably going to start seeing TV shows recorded and broadcast in that sort of format. But I think it's still early days. I think it might be another 3D phase where this year it's all 4K and next year it might have died.
Well, okay, so to put this into perspective, right, YouTube already has 4K content. They've been pushing that for quite a while. Sony has 4K handy cams that regular people can use, and 4K action cams, and GoPro records in 4K now, so a lot of those videos are coming out in 4K.
Don't some of the new Sony phones record in 4K as well?
Pretty much a lot of the Android phones, so Sony stuff, LG, HTC doesn't because the lens is just, the actual camera module isn't powerful enough. I mean, it's only 4K is not that much when you're talking megapixels in terms of taking 4K photos. The big thing with 4K video is just the processor needs to be able to do the compression on the fly. That's the big thing.
I mean, is Sony's new digital cameras, they take 4K video as well.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, you keep hearing the word Sony, and they're the guys sort of driving the formats. I mean, they're the guys that drove Blu-ray because they understood that we needed high volume, high density storage medium to deliver this kind of stuff when the internet wasn't around. The internet's still not around, really, for a lot of people in South Africa. We don't exactly have the highest fidelity internet access in the world. But Netflix was on hand for, I think, two of the three major TV manufacturers for their press conferences. So the big three, obviously, Samsung, LG, and Sony. They were there for two of them, and they were discussing 4K streaming and 4K content and actually doing HDR now for like pre-encoding HDR so that it makes, you know, everything look snappy and amazing on TVs. I think 4K is coming. I mean, it's just a bandwidth issue now.
Yeah, no, I'm totally behind 4K. It's natural progression of video.
Yeah.
Standard definition, high definition, ultra definition, and now they're slapping another word 4K onto it. I think it's just a natural progression. Dion might be right in the sense that it's going to take a couple of years to become mainstream, but it's definitely, definitely getting off now. I'm totally behind it. I mean, everything's 4K.
Well, I mean, most of the TVs have decent enough processors in them. They actually do 4K upscaling, so it sort of guesses, you know, around the rest of the pixel. So you start with 1080, and it sort of guesses what the 4K version would look like, and then does that on the fly. The big thing is that 4K is not going to be around for long. There were 8K TVs at CES. It's the future. It's what's going to happen. The big thing you want to look out for this year, I think, in TVs is OLED TVs getting cheaper. OLED's basically the shit. It is the best thing on the face of the planet. So in the past, when you were buying a TV, you had a choice. You could go plasma or you could go LED. When people say LED or LCD, they know nothing. They're both LCD TVs. LED TVs just use LED backlighting. That's the only difference. It's not that there are different panels or anything. It's the backlighting entirely. So you had a choice between LED and plasma. Plasma was amazing in dark rooms. If you had no natural light that was going to hit the picture at any given time, plasma had the ability to turn off each individual pixel basically so that you got pure black, and then it would be able to show you an amazing picture. The problem with plasma, if any natural light was in the room, is that it couldn't get bright enough to fight off the natural light, so colors would get washed out. LED, on the other hand, super bright, can nuke any ray of sunshine that pops into your room. It can keep everything as bright as you need it to be, but it could never turn off the individual pixels. So black would look grayish. You know, you'd get a weird sort of, you could tell that there was light behind the black. And it's really not good. You know, you only notice this stuff in hindsight when you're looking at a plasma screen or at an OLED screen. You go, wow, that's a really good black color that they've got there, because, you know, your LED TV at home just can't match that. OLED is both. OLED can turn off each individual pixel, and the pixels can get nuclear bright. I mean, that's why Samsung's been using AMOLED screens. The OLED part of AMOLED is still OLED. That's why they use those screens, because you can really ramp up the brightness. So outdoors and things like that, amazing, amazing quality. I really want an OLED TV. I mean, last year they were about, I think they came down to 10,000 US by the end of sort of September-ish kind of vibe. Still 100 grand. So let's look at them getting into about the 50,000 rand mark this year. You're probably going to see regular LED 4K TVs popping down to the 20s, sort of mid-20s. I mean, they're at 30 at the moment, 35, somewhere there for a 55-inch. Look for them to go to about 20 grand. It's a really good time to be picking up TVs. I mean, 4K is sort of an established technology now. It's, I mean, you can get really big panels for really relatively decent prices. I mean, obviously they're going to come down during the course of the year, but TV shopping now is a really, really cool thing to be doing. OLED next year, I'd say, would probably be the best time to buy an OLED, but go and see one this year, because you're definitely going to find one. I really like TV. I don't know if anyone's understanding this, you know, out there, but TV's the main way we consume most of our media. I mean, I watch TV and movies on my TV. I play video games on my TV. I spend a lot of time with it. So I had a debate with someone the other day about LG's million rand TV, why anyone would want one, and I keep coming back to the whole thing, what do you spend more time in, your car or watching TV? I certainly spend more time watching TV, and so I'd rather spend more money on that than on a car. So, you know, for me, it makes sense. Other people, maybe not so much. If you're doing a Pretoria-Joburg commute every day, by all means, you know, spend more money on your car. Makes sense for you. But personally, I'm going TVs.
I'm just so pleasantly surprised that TV prices in general are low. I mean, not even talking 4K, just a regular 1080p, 55-inch LED TV, you're going to pay 8-9 grand. You can when they're on special.
Yeah.
When 3 years ago I bought my TV, I paid double that for a big, thick, ugly 55-inch thing. So,
yeah,
I mean, with prices coming down, now's a great time to be looking.
You make a good point. They're all getting prettier. I mean, if you have a look at Sony's OLED TV that they trotted out on stage, it's like 5 mils thick. It is thinner than their cell phones that they give you. I mean, there's a bit of a hump towards the bottom. You know, there's sort of like the bottom third has a bit of thickness to it, but the top two-thirds is literally a 5 millimeter thick panel that just runs, and it is beautifully amazing.
Yeah, something I've noticed over the last probably 3 years is that as TVs have gotten more attractive, I have resented that big, thick bezel around the edge of my screen.
Ah, oh, so ugly, isn't it?
To a much greater degree. You look at it now and you go, really, what the hell was I thinking? Obviously, there wasn't another choice.
It's sort of, once you've seen these tiny, thin bezels, it sort of detracts from your TV, because all you can see is the bezel. And it might be the latent consumerism in us. You know, we always just want the newest and the best, which is a massive peril of the job we're in. We get to see the newest stuff as and when it comes out, which puts massively sharp contrast on everything we've managed to actually buy with our own money. And, you know, it kind of gives you buyer's remorse. But I don't know. I mean, Charlie, I remember during the year you got a TV from us to review. And,
correct.
You were having a look at that, and instead of, you know, moving your TV out and getting anything, you just plopped this big... It was bigger than your TV. You just plopped it in front of your TV, and your TV disappeared, and now you had a bigger one.
It completely disappeared. It swallowed it. Our TV completely fit behind the big TV, and you couldn't even see it.
And it sucks, because now you don't have it anymore, right?
Nope. I still have the big fat bezel TV, which is a plasma, by the way.
Yeah, plasma's red. If you can get the room dark, plasma is still probably your best option. The only thing is guys have stopped manufacturing them, which probably, I mean, you could probably pick up a really decent plasma for almost nothing at the moment because guys are getting rid of them. So, you know, if you've got a really dark room, like you've built a cinema-style room with really small windows or you have blackout curtains, plasma, way to go, definitely. It's just like I have a lot of natural brightness in the room where I watch most of my TV, so... Traditionally, I mean, I still have LED TVs. LCD was never powerful enough. LEDs work really, really well. And the biggest problem for me is that I really want an OLED screen now. You know, you watch a lot of video on OLED, and you go and see an OLED panel, and then once you've seen one, you're completely screwed because it's the best of both technologies. And I know you're going to see a lot of stuff about quantum dot and a whole bunch of other things coming from manufacturers. That's weird. I still think OLED wins because of the depth of the black that it can get to, which you don't think is a good thing. But, you know, watching Star Wars and the space is actually black, that's a good thing. It really is. Another thing that's really good, though, is I think this year's gaming is going to be much better. Last year was a bit of a fizzle.
I don't know. I've heard a couple of people say that, but I disagree. I played a lot of fantastic games last year, and I'm thinking if this year's going to be better than last, we're in for a hell of a ride.
I don't know. I thought September onwards was very good. I thought January to September felt very, very subdued.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Call of Duty was the best Call of Duty we've had in ages.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, I don't think there's too many people that can disagree with that. It really was much better. And it's because, you know, the developers had the time to make one, in my opinion. Yeah. Shadows of Mordor offered us a fantastic look at what you can do with dynamic enemy generation and stuff with the Nemesis system. And while it did get a bit repetitive once you kept playing on and on and on, it was a really cool technology that I'm pretty sure is going to be worked into a lot more of the games. And then, Dragon Age was just beyond.
You say was like we're not still playing it. I'm still 120 hours in and still carrying on. I haven't even finished the thing.
I'm still midway, but it's still a 2014 game. So I speak of it in the past tense, yeah. As in as far as it's not going to be released this year.
Just as an aside, though, I think Dragon Age represents the best value for your gaming money right now. I mean, in terms of rands per hours, you are going to get a lot of value
like
out of it.
$4.50 an hour, probably around there.
Probably thereabouts.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's going to beat a movie. I mean, a movie ticket these days is about $50. So movies these days are somewhere in the region of 16 rand an hour. It's sort of my system for working out stuff. I work on a two and a half, three hour movie. So between 16 and 20 rand an hour in terms of entertainment. As long as a video game can beat that, I'm willing to pay the price.
Yeah, with Dragon Age, the world is so big. There's so many side quests to do, and you know they don't feel tacked on. It's not like somebody just went, oh, "We need to write a side quest. Let's get some junior writer in to put this thing together." These things are like finely crafted scenes out of movies, and my jaw is on the floor all the time just because of the quality, the acting, the writing, and the combat. It just doesn't get old either. I'm thoroughly in love with it.
And while it may be a sort of hot topic, divisive issue or whatever, the bum wiggle on the women. I know I enjoy it.
That's something that I think they got right from the first game. It's just kind of perfected in this one. Just watching her as she runs is a true pleasure.
It's more of a dude thing. Like, guys really appreciate the bum wiggle. I've seen a couple of female comments on Twitter over the last few days calling it a bit of an outrageous thing that no woman would ever run with that much wiggle. I don't care.
Doesn't bother me?
No. I mean, I understand that, you know, people want accurate portrayals, but goddammit, there are dragons in the world. A little bit of inaccurate portrayal isn't the worst thing.
Yeah, I think in a game where you're wielding void magic, I don't think realism is number one on their list.
What would be the male equivalent of that? So what would be the over-dramatization of a male character's run? Assless chaps?
No idea.
I don't know. I really don't.
I don't think you're asking the right people.
Yeah. So what games are we looking forward to, guys?
The one that's coming up soon that I'm looking forward to is Dying Light. It's a zombie game done by the same guys that did the Dead Island series.
Okay.
I played a bit of it at Rage last year and looks fantastic, but it's got the same sorts of elements. It's a huge, big open world. You can combine things to make weapons. I think this one's probably they're going for a little bit more realism this time. So there's like whole day-night cycles and how that impacts on how the zombies behave and all that sort of thing.
So it's a serious Dead Rising.
It's a serious zombie game, yeah. Was going to be out on the 27th of this month, but I think they've pushed it back now.
Okay.
The other thing that I want to see this year, and nobody's talking about it yet, and there's no news whatsoever, so I don't think this is any indication, but I want to see Fallout 4. I want somebody to talk about Fallout 4. I want to hear some sort of announcement. I want to see screens. I am dying for that game.
I'm the same boat, but I'm afraid they're going to launch Fallout 4 in the state of video gaming now, and they're going to cock it up completely.
What are you talking about, buggy releases?
Yes, because that seems to be the norm these days. That is a complete different discussion for a very, very different day. But I'm just concerned that they might cock it up.
I think I'm less worried about bugs than I am about them using the Skyrim engine for this game. Skyrim came out 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I want to see a brand spanking new Unreal Engine 4, all the bells and whistles, Fallout 4 with that awesome slow motion VATS combat system. Man, I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Big fan.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to The Witcher, though. Because like you mentioned, the first half of the year is incredibly, incredibly dry, except for maybe The Order, maybe, possibly, which could be good. The rest of the months are pretty dry, but The Witcher is probably the game that I'm looking forward to the most. But then we all know there will be a new Assassin's Creed, a new Call of Duty, a new Battlefield, a new Need for Speed, a new Forza. Yes. So,
Batman Arkham Knight. Anyone excited to play more Batmans?
Nope.
Why?
I've never been a Batman fan because he takes up too much of the screen and I can't see what's going on.
Okay, so no Batman from Charlie D?
Look, I would say I'm looking forward to it. I'm not the series' biggest fan, but I have enjoyed both Arkham City and Arkham Asylum.
After Shadows, which is still Warner Brothers, and if I'm not mistaken, they're back to Rocksteady?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going back to the original guys who did the dev on the game, who Jeff definitely, in my opinion, did the best versions of the game.
Agreed.
And we've got the potential of Nemesis System and Warner Brothers going on there. I don't think that they're not using Nemesis on it, aren't they?
I don't think they're using Nemesis.
No.
I think the big thing that sets Arkham Knight apart is the use of the Batmobile.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool.
Okay. Battleborn?
Battleborn? Yeah, it looks interesting. I'll give it a swirl. That's from Cliffy B's Bosky Studios, if I remember correctly.
Is that it's a MOBA, right?
Gearbox is doing it, I think.
Anyways, there's another one that he's doing as well, which looks pretty good. But it's the MOBA. It's the
from me.
He's doing Fortnite.
Yeah.
Come to think of it.
Battlefield Hardline. Does anyone care about another Battlefield that is essentially Battlefield 4 but cops and robbers?
Don't laugh. I'm intrigued purely because of the police aspect, but I'm afraid it's going to be Battlefield reskinned with police. We already know that EA is not planning on a second one because they've said that the next Battlefield is going back to military, so this will be the last. I won't say last one,
if the developers or if the publishers sitting there going, yeah, we see there's no interest in this thing, we're sort of moving back to our bread and butter. You can tell from the beginning that it's not the best idea.
Yeah, it's, I'm intrigued, but I think I might have a skewed idea of what the game will be about, so I could be horribly disappointed.
Yeah. Look, I must say, I'm not the biggest Battlefield fan, but I have enjoyed the game. This one looks interesting because it's not just the whole, one side versus the other. They're working heists into it as well. So you obviously have to, I'm not too sure about the planning, but you've got to execute a heist as the robbers and as the cops, you have to stop them.
How did that work out for GTA?
Yeah, it hasn't yet. So
then we've got the new Rainbow Six, which is very, very that's Siege, which is more the planning on taking down terrorists kind of side than planning a bank heist, isn't it?
Yeah, from what I understand, it sort of gets back to the Rainbow Six roots where you do have to plan and execute. That looks pretty cool. I mean,
I'm excited for that.
Anything with Tom Clancy's name on it game-wise, you can hardly go wrong.
Can't go too far off of Tom Clancy, The Division.
Oh.
Massively, massively excited for The Division. Massive open world, post-apocalyptic, we're going to go and shoot people in the face kind of vibe.
You see, you had me by those first two concepts.
Oh, yeah.
Open world, post-apocalyptic, that word which I can never pronounce. I'm in.
Oh, yeah, totally. This is why we love Fallout. Yeah. So getting another bunch of guys in to do a sort of... I mean, just the videos, every time I watch them, I just want to, like, curl up in a little ball and hug myself for, like, pure enjoyment. It's amazing.
Yeah, it looks amazing. What, I think it's the Snowdrop engine?
Snow something or other?
Yeah. It's looking phenomenal. It's, I mean, modern New York City... encrusted in ice and snow.
Oh, yeah.
With all kinds of post-apocalyptic things going on. It looks amazing.
Go. Bloodborne, sort of Dark Souls-y, kind of apparently impossibly difficult kind of game. Anyone keen?
Nope.
Yeah, I'll take a look, but I'm not, like, chomping at the bit.
Meh. We've got a... Cities Skylines. Charlie's rapidly pointing at the list I'm going down.
Go back.
Want that?
I like my management games. I didn't play the previous SimCity, but I did play most of the Cities XL games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of Tropico as well. I'm intrigued. I saw some of the screenshots and it looks really, really good. It's a city simulator where you pretty much build your own city, but you have to plan it a little bit better than the SimCities. So it should be fun.
And let's be honest, anything that isn't the last SimCity is going to be much better when it comes to city building.
Yeah.
Crackdown. After Crackdown 2, I'm out. I refuse to go back to the series. I don't care how good it is. I'm out.
They've got a lot of work to convince us.
I'm going to be reading reviews for good solid 3 months, long-term gameplay. I'll probably pick it up secondhand at best, or, you know, go in with a mate and buy it half-half kind of thing and then trade it in for value when we're done.
Yeah, I loved the first one, but they lost the plot and after that.
I know. Number two was atrocious. Yeah. I think it's still one of the worst games I've ever had to force myself to play through. You know when you're, like, trying to get to a certain number of hours because you feel like that's the minimum you need to review something? Yeah. That was every minute of that game. Dead Island 2.
Nope.
I really enjoyed Dead Island, got all the DLC. I didn't play Riptide, though, but it was pretty good.
And Dead Island 2, anyone?
I could definitely give that a go. I think maybe Dying Light's going to give me my zombie fix for the time being, but I enjoyed Dead Island 1, played the hell out of it, despite everyone sort of bashing on it a little bit. I like the way Techland does stuff. I like the whole melee approach that they have to making it feel like you really are bashing a zombie's brains in. Looking forward to it.
It was dumb. Really, yeah, I didn't like it.
I've got a soft spot for dumb things.
I didn't like it.
I like cheesy movies. I like dumb games. That one really scratched the itch.
They did zombies wrong. Blah, blah, blah. Multiple things. Yeah.
I don't know. For me, any time a zombie runs, it's wrong.
Exactly.
Anyone keen on Dreadnought, floating spaceshipy thingy?
Nope.
Not? Okay, nope. So no one's even heard of. Dying Light, you've already said. If anyone wants to know the list we're actually going through, Lazy Gamer, one of our, you know, we enjoy the guys from Lazy Gamer. Darren made a list of pretty much every big game to look out for in 2015. And we're sort of just missioning through his list because it's really, really comprehensive, actually, once you sort of get in there. I know something coming up really soon is Evolve 4v1. My big fear, I've played Evolve. I managed to play it at Rage. It was hilariously fun. The biggest problem is that I feel like there's going to be too many people wanting to play as monsters because they only have themselves and, you know, getting a team of four to play against. 4v1 is a very big thing. You're either a one or a four, and if you're not a four, you're being put with random strangers and your teamwork's going to be completely off, you know? Like, it feels like it's very Americanized. It doesn't feel like something for the South African market.
Here's the problem I have with Evolve. If you don't know what you're doing as a monster... you are so going to be screwed. The open beta just finished last week, if I remember correctly, or earlier this week. And if you can stay with the monster the whole time, there is absolutely no way that monster can win. If the monster gets hurt, it needs to go away and feed. If you stay on that monster and you keep on hitting him, he cannot feed and he will die.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Don't play against anyone from IGN Africa. Trust me, I played against Taron. she destroyed all of us really quickly.
Yeah,
she's a very good monster. She sort of revels in the, you know, making people fear for their lives. Like, we were sprinting around getting pwned. Off of that, anyway, so that's coming soon. I mean, we've got a lot of coverage on that, and it's definitely coming soon, so we'll get a copy, and we'll have a review pretty soon. So it'll be interesting. I don't know if it's going to work. It'll be fun to see the mechanic. You've got to have a lot of people who own that game, which is a big presumption on their part. Fable Legends, I don't play Fable games. I'm not into it. It's too easy for me. I like games where the possibility of dying actually exists.
Very easy achievements, though. So
Dion's in. Final Fantasy, anyone? JRPGs?
Nope.
Yep. I'm all in. Final Fantasy Type Zero, here we come. Apparently there's a rape scene, which is weird. The ESRB,
which
rating.
Is not the reason why Dave's excited.
No, not entirely. So not at all. I'm a massive JRPG fan. I played a lot of Final Fantasy X back in the day. Fortnite, Charlie, you were speaking about Cliffy B.
Yes. Yeah, it looks right. I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't really know what Fortnite is. Just go into it quick.
Epic Games have been up to since they waved goodbye to Gears of War. It's called Fortnite. It's a zombie apocalypse meets Minecraft. Players have to build a sizable defense for the undead menace lurking in the darkness. More zombie for you, D.
It's going to be awesome. It's multiplayer. It's a multiplayer game, so he plays a team.
Oh, God, multiplayer. Never mind.
Yeah, Dion hates people. Gran Turismo. None of us are really big car people, and nope. They messed up the last one hard. I don't think so. GTA 5 coming to consoles. Woo!
Well, it is on console. I think it's coming to PC.
Sorry, it's coming to PC, yeah. Halo 5, Guardians. Anyone a Halo fan? I'm not a big Halo fan. I managed to play 4. Listen, 4 was my favorite. I hated 1, 2, and 3. Well, I wouldn't say hated. I disliked a lot of playing 1, 2, and 3. 4 was really, really good, and I'm willing to give 5 a bash. Charlie, in, out?
Nope, out.
Completely out.
Yep.
Okay. Let's try and see. Homefront's first game was the most over-marketed piece of slurry I have ever managed to play in my entire life. It was terrible. There was clipping.
I was going to say, and it's horrible.
Oh, it was such a horrible game. It was the first game to ever have a $100 million ad budget, and they shoveled it down our throats. And when we bought it, it was bad.
But knowing how bad it is, doesn't that make you curious to find out how they're going to try and make it better, make it up to you?
No. Let me tell you what's going to make it better. THQ, out of business. Who bought the rights to this? Crytek. Crisis people.
Yeah, no, it's Crisis.
Are we happy? It's Crisis.
The graphics will be pretty.
It's Crisis without the crisis. So normal Crisis gameplay is, you know, a lot of running around and, you know, not doing much. And you get to kill people sometimes. This could be the opposite of that. North Korean occupation, let's go nuts. What is it with North Korea? North Korea has become the enemy du jour.
No, but North Korea wasn't the first one as well.
Yeah, no, but they've sort of, like, over time, everyone is killing the North Koreans now. Just Cause 3.
Yes! Oh,
yes, please.
Okay, Just Cause 3.
I think I've logged something like 85 hours in Just Cause 2, that hook thingy that the guy uses to, like, yeah, fly around hook. The place, the grappling hook. That was amazing.
Which is prominent in the media image that's going on here. So
I'm looking forward to seeing what next-gen Just Cause looks
there
like.
There we go. I know Tiana will be into this. Kirby and the Rainbow Curse. Anyone?
Those are crickets.
There we go. The Last Guardian. Does anyone think this will actually be released?
Nope. No.
There we go. The Legend of Zelda, New Zelda.
I never really got into the Zelda games. I've tried a couple on 3DS, but it never really grabbed me. I didn't grow up with them. So, yeah.
Okay, Mario Maker. You can build your own Mario. No, Mario, no.
I think that's pretty much it for the year.
Metal Gear 5.
Nope.
D, you played the...
I played Ground Zeroes.
That thing. Thoughts?
Yeah, it'll probably be good for fans. I'm not like right up there. I haven't played the series from like beginning to end. So.
Okay. Mighty Number 9 was a kickstarted game. The guy who made Mega Man decided to make a new game. Very 3D, still platformy, run around, side-scroller, shoot people in the face, get powers and stuff. It's basically Mega Man for the next generation. I'm totally in. I'm there like a bear. Yeah, loved Mega Man.
Looks promising. Yeah, I did very well on Kickstarter, and there's a lot of fans out there, and I'm pretty sure it'll be good.
I'm really all in. The Order, you mentioned it earlier, Charlie. Everyone excited? Order 1866? 1886, sorry.
I'm looking forward to seeing just how good the graphics look. I mean, all the previews in that we've seen look absolutely incredible. I want to see how it plays and if the good looks actually translate to decent gameplay.
Let's just have a look at Quantum Break. Anyone? It's that TV show mixed with the... thing that Dion can never remember the name of, mixed with the game. I don't know.
It looks pretty cool. And it's done by the Remedy guys, guys who came out with Max Payne back in the day.
And I think last on the list will have to be the new Tomb Raider, which is going to be sort of, what you call it, tied down to the Xbox for a while. Yeah. Oh, no, wait, there's one more. Okay, firstly, anyone in on the Tomb Raider?
I would love the hell out of Tomb Raider.
That last one was amazing. Edition. Totally in on that. Uncharted 4. Anyone? Anyone an Uncharted fan? No? No Uncharted fans?
I prefer my explorers being Lara Croft, I'll be honest.
Okay, so we've just had a bit of sexism deciding which explorer you're going to be, which is perfectly allowed. Anyway, that's all we have time for. It's been a bumper edition. Lots of games and 4K everything. That's basically what you have to look forward to in 2015.
And with any luck, some sort of virtual reality Oculus Rift type
product
to actually hit the market. Damn it, I want VR to be a thing.
It's not going
to
happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's not a thing. It's not a thing yet. Give it time. Okay, anyway, that's all from us. 2015 will also bring you a lot of HTXT Africa. Look forward to a lot of cool things coming from us. From Dion Duplessis.
Cheers, everyone.
And Charlie Fripp.
Goodbye.
This has been Dave Greenway. You can hit us up if you need to get us at podcast@htxt.co.za. Otherwise, HTXT Africast in iTunes to find it, or just grab the feed into your favorite podcatcher, htxt.co.za/podcast. Thank you very much. Have a good day. We be out.
The HTXT Africast is sponsored by Neotel, South Africa's first converged communications network operator. Neotel, inspiring possibilities.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.